Hour number three on the program tonight here on Sportsline, high atop Television Hill, firmly entrenched in the toy department here. Coming up, film critic Christian Toto on the big second half blockbusters, but right now we're going to talk some Orioles minor leagues and a fascinating time in the Orioles system. John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, is with us. And finally, at long last, John is one of my longest-running guests. In fact, so far back when I was on another station, John used to join me. And we finally got to meet each other in person, John, at Camden Yards last Friday night.
Yeah, it was too short of a meeting, but I'm glad that you were able to come by. And it was a lot of fun. And my son's second ever big league game. And I tell you, I just realized, I told my sister who lives up there, just how spoiled she and her kids are. They get that ballpark and big league baseball all the time here in North Carolina. You know, we don't have it. And they can watch all the games. Of course, in North Carolina, we can't watch Masson or Masson 2. That's a whole other story. But anyway, sometimes you don't realize what you're missing out until you're there. So we had a great time. Great experience. Big Orioles win with the Hundley walk-off, and that was great meeting you in person.
That was a fun night at the ballpark. There's no doubt about that. And last night, you called the Triple-A All-Star game, right?
Yeah, I had an eventful week. A big league game on Friday in Camden Yards. Sunday, the Futures game in Minneapolis. My first time at Target Field. A really impressive day there. And a crisp game. Then last night, we had the Triple-A All-Star game in Durham. And since they didn't have to fly anybody in, I was fortunate. I was the home guy, so I joined the broadcast team last night with Paul Severino and Daryl Hamilton and Sam Ryan. We had a good game and a fun time over in Durham, and a great crowd, and we've been very fortunate to have great weather. So the last week or so has been a big-time baseball week for me. And looking tomorrow with the draft signing deadline, I'm looking forward to that Brady Aiken saga being over one way or the other.
Yeah, you've had a lot on your plate here. And can we go back to the Futures game? It's probably a good place to start if you are looking at the Orioles minor league system right now. Hunter Harvey, 2 Ks in his one inning there. He did give up a hit and a walk. But what was your impression of Hunter?
Boy, he's young. I talked to him pregame. I mean, I'd seen him before. I'd seen him in high school. I saw him at the Under Armour Classic up in Chicago.
He's from your neck of the woods, right?
He is. I mean, that's what I went and talked to him pregame in the clubhouse about. My first job, full-time job, was in Hickory, North Carolina, and he went to Bandy's High School, which was in our coverage area. So I talked to him about my favorite local restaurant in that area, and he said it's still there. Catfish sandwiches are still good there. And so we talked about drums and seafood and hot fudge milkshakes. Then we talked a little bit about pitching. And, you know, I think I might have met him when he was like 12, palling around with his dad scouting. So he gave us a good look. Certainly has a live arm. You know, I think that there's been a lot of heat about him, and he has a tremendous arm, but he is raw. He's not one of these guys who's going to shoot through the minor leagues. He's got some fastball command issues. He's got some changeup issues. Just he never used one in high school. And, you know, he's shown some ability with it, but it takes most pitchers a while to develop feel for a changeup like that and feel for three pitches. So, you know, I think he has a chance to become an elite prospect. I don't think he's an elite prospect yet. I'm a little bit lighter on him than other sources in the industry. I like him, but I think we just need to not get overheated on him and give the kid some time to develop, because he is a kid. He won't need to shave every day, Brett, for a couple of years at least, if not until he turns 25. So he's a kid, and that's why I want to not get overheated on him as a prospect, because let's just let him develop and let him learn. That's what the South Atlantic League is supposed to be about. He's allowed to have bad outings, you know, and for people not to panic about it.
Yeah, he's having a really good year, though, and was invited to the Futures game. All right, Dariel Alvarez is making his AAA Norfolk debut tonight. I thought that was a pretty quick rise for Dariel, who also played in the Futures game, did not get a base hit. What's your impressions with him? He's in right field tonight for the Tides. He's been playing center field for the Bay Sox.
Well, you know, coming into the year, I think we thought that between their two older Cuban outfielders, Urruti is, 26, 27?
Yeah, he's older, yeah.
Alvarez, 24, 25. I think coming into the year, the consensus of the industry was that most people like Urruti better. Now it seems like it's Alvarez. You know, I think he's a little bit more of a well-rounded player. And I think he's shown a little bit more offensive ability than maybe he was given credit for in Cuba. And guess what? That keeps happening a lot. the scouts that we talk to who see these guys in Cuba, I think with the Cuban national team where they scout them on TV, I think it's hard to tell what caliber of pitcher they're facing in Cuba. And, And to, you know, people doubted Jose Abreu's bat speed when he came to the United States. And yeah, that guy's had no trouble adjusting. He had 29 home runs already.
Right.
So, I think there are several, you know, whether it's residual from the days of Andy Morales and the first Cuban hitters that kind of got out in the late 90s and the turn of the century. The last 4 or 5 years, most of the Cuban hitters that get out are pretty doggone good. I don't think Alvarez is going to be a star like a Cespedes or a Puig, certainly. I do think he has a chance to contribute, and I'm not sure they need him in Baltimore this year, but there's some offensive ability there. He earned that promotion, as did Christian Walker. So those are two of the more positive developments in the organization this year.
Yeah, I would say Christian Walker, just because everyone said the power would never come, and it didn't take all that long for him to get there. Everyone always said he was a polished player, John, a guy who's going to hit, he's going to field, part of really great college teams in the SEC at South Carolina. And there he is tonight at AAA Norfolk, batting third right in front of Daryl Alvarez. He's already walked twice tonight as Christian Walker.
Yeah, it's a good year to be a South Carolina Gamecock first baseman in the Orioles system, because that was Steve Pierce. He's having a great year at the big league level.
What a good point that is.
And Christian Walker is the same guy. You know, in college, he was the same guy as Steve Pierce, except that Pierce was more power over hit. Walker was hit over power in terms of ranking the tools. You know, I never understood why with some players, scouts say, well, if you have the hitting ability, the power will come later, and with other ones, they don't. And for whatever reason, they never wanted to give Christian Walker the credit that, yeah, he has feel for the barrel, but I don't believe in the power. And they should have, you know, because, like you said, he is a polished approach. I will say that Christian Walker definitely could be that guy who fills in. I think they have lack of athleticism at the rook. That's the whole problem for scouts. How athletic is he? And the scouts I've talked to never give him that much credit for his athletic ability, but I just was talking about him at the AAA All-Star game with a scout I know, you know, who has coverage of South Carolina. And I just brought up, I said, did you ever think Christian Walker would be this good? And he said, I'll tell you, you know, I didn't think so, but Ray always did. You know, Ray Tanner, his old head coach. And, you know, the more we go on, the more Ray tells me, hey, look, I told you, you should have nabbed this guy. You should have drafted this guy. And I'm starting to think that he was right. So I think there are a lot of scouts who are skeptical about him, and maybe they just doubted his athletic ability. But, you know, he just keeps on making believers because he is such a polished hitter. And he knows the strike zone better than most of the umpires. So that helps when you're a hitter. If you know the strike zone and you know your own strengths and weaknesses as a hitter, and he plays to those strengths.
Yeah, already 20 home runs this year for Christian Walker. By the way, like Pierce, he's only 6 foot. And that's what he's listed as. That makes me think he's probably 5'11".
Right, exactly.
Mike Yastrzemski, he got quickly called up to Frederick, and quicker than that, got called up to Bowie. He's making his debut there tonight. Already a couple of base hits. I know he's one of those guys, John, that kind of gets pegged, maybe a fourth outfielder, but a really good college player, also in the SEC at Vanderbilt, a wonderful program. And you look at the numbers this year, it's just a total stat filler. Doubles, triples, homers, stolen bases. Everyone says the glove and arm is already there to be a major league player. Did people underestimate Mike Yastrzemski?
I mean, absolutely did. I think, you know, one thing we're starting to find out is that it's harder to scout these college hitters with these bats they use. You know, they used to complain that it was hard to scout them and to see who had real power and who had fake power with the old bats. But the new ones are just in the opposite direction. You know, they're so unbalanced and so oddly weighted. I think it's really hard to swing the bat consistently for these college hitters. And a lot of them are a lot better with wood than scouts gave him credit for. And I think that's been the case with Yastrzemski. He's in for more power than he ever did in college. And I wonder if that's just because he's more comfortable with the wood bat. So I haven't talked to a scout about him who's seen him this year, but the numbers speak for themselves. And, you know, guys like him as a college junior. I think the thing is, if you don't go get the Vanderbilt guys high and you don't really, you know, spend some money, you have a hard time buying the Vanderbilt guys out of school because, you know, for whatever reason, it's a long story I won't get into, but most of those guys are getting need-based financial aid at Vanderbilt, and a lot of those guys aren't, and they can spread their scholarship money around pretty well, so a lot of those guys aren't paying for school, so that's one of the reasons Vanderbilt has so much depth, and they've been on such a roll as a program to win a national championship this year. Hard to buy those guys out as juniors, then sometimes I think the scouts get a little prospect fatigue on the college seniors, so he did a great job by the Orioles scouting department of identifying him. And then, you know, this guy just gone on and had a tremendous year. I mean, even if he is a fourth outfielder, you can make a long career as a fourth outfielder. he doesn't have a tool that pops out of like a, you know, 60 or 70 World Troop Plus tool on the scouting card, but he hasn't shown a weakness either. And like I said, the power has been a lot better as a pro than it was in his days at Vanderbilt, where he really was more like a singles and maybe the occasional doubles hitter. And, you know, now he's popped some home runs, and really his isolated power is over 150. He's having a really respectable power season.
John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, is with us. I want to hit two more guys, John, in our final 2 minutes here. One is probably the best development in the system, not the biggest surprise, but the best development, a draft pick from 2013, and that's the catcher for the Delmarva Shorebirds of the South Atlantic League. Chance Cisco right now is hitting over 350. He was born in 1995. That's some pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, it really is impressive. You know, bro, we did a midseason prospect update for the first time this year, where we did revised top tens for all of our organizations. 300 prospects and scouting reports in this ebook. You can get it at iTunes or Zinnia. You just go to baseballamerica.com. You'll see the ad for it. But you know, we have Chance Cisco as the number four prospect in the organization. It goes Bundy, Harvey, Rodriguez, Eduardo Rodriguez, and then Chance Cisco. So he's the top-rated position player in the organization for us. And Chance Cisco, it's because the bat gets in the zone quick and it stays in the zone a long time. So he's got bat control. He has feel for the barrel as a young hitter. You know, he's throwing out 24-25% of opposing base dealers. So for a guy who was a high school shortstop three years ago, this guy's making a quick conversion. So he's got feel for hit, and he's got pretty good athleticism at a premium position. That has a chance to add up to something pretty special. I mean, that's, you know, I love Hunter Harvey. I'm excited about Hunter Harvey, but I'm almost more excited for Cisco. And there's all this heat on Harvey. I think Chance Cisco has a chance to be a premium prospect at a premium position. That's hard to find. That's frankly hard to find than hard throwing high school right-hander. So I think Orioles fans should get pretty excited about Chance Cisco. This is a guy I think, I agree with you, he's the best story in the system this year.
All right, last one here, and it's a negative. Officially right now, Eduardo Rodriguez is getting hammered again tonight. His ERA over 5 yep. right now. You know, he's a young guy. He's a highly touted southpaw. Got to be in the Orioles' big camp for a little bit this year. Got into a game or two. I was not impressed then. And obviously the numbers are disappointing for Eduardo Rodriguez right now in Double-A Bowie.
Yeah, it sounds like the reports we've got of the fastball command just has not been there this year like it was last year. You know, you almost wonder, I remember talking to you in the fall about seeing him in the fall league and being a little surprised that he was in the fall league, and he really did log a lot of innings last year. And you just wonder if there's a little bit of fatigue that carried over, that he just might have overworked a little bit last year and not been able to recharge those batteries and maybe going through a dead arm period this year. Because, you know, even if you just lose a little bit of arm speed, which is what our scouting reports seem to indicate, if you lose a little bit of arm speed, your timing gets off, and it can lead to a lot of other problems. So, and one of the things it leads to is not having that consistent release point, and that's where you lose your command. So, you know, to me, the things that are positive about him is that he's still 21, he's still left-handed, it's a good body, he still spins the slider. But, yeah, last year you were seeing more like several above-average pitches or even some 60 pitches, some true plus. This year it's really been more average and then the below-average command, and he's much more hittable. So far it's almost like a wasted year, really, for Eduardo Rodriguez. What you hope for is that, you know, he's going through his adversity in Double-A and he learns from it, as opposed to learning from in the big leagues and getting hammered. And the Orioles, you know, have seen, you know, better. It's been later with a lot of their pitchers. You know, you were hoping for Tillman, Britton, and Mattis, and even Jake Arrieta to have success in 2011, 2012. They're all having various degrees of success in 2014, some of them in other organizations, but it can take a while with younger pitchers, and you know, you just have to hope if you're the Orioles that's the way it works with Rodriguez. Maybe it's 2015 when things start to trend back in a positive direction for him. But, yeah, the first half has been a disappointment for him, no doubt.
Yeah, everyone thinks it always just gets better naturally. No, it's a roller coaster. There's ups and then there's downs, and then hopefully there are ups again. John Manuel, the one and only editor-in-chief of Baseball America. John, thank you so much. We'll catch up again soon. Always a pleasure.
All right, thanks, Brett. Thanks for calling.
Great knowledge from John Manuel talking about the Orioles farm system. I want to talk about so many other prospects, but you just can't not talk about Harvey right now, and you can't not talk about Walker and Alvarez and Chance Cisco tearing the cover off the ball in the South Atlantic League. We'll come back with more next.